because he was over 500 years old when this happened. So we've only got a short period of time to pack all that 500 years in. So we can take a body change. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So you got to have faith. I'm not doing away with faith. Faith is the foundation.
Right.
Without the foundation, you go nowhere. But once you got faith, true faith, Brother Brown said, when you get true faith, add virtue, add knowledge, add temperance, add patience, add godliness. All these, and these are required.
Right.
Okay, this is required reading. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. See, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I never saw it physically in my life. But the proof of that is, once that resurrection happened and that man could come back into me and you, that put a belief. And then guess what he done? He gave us it all in writing.
Right.
He gave us the Bible.
Amen.
That we can read it and believe it and become part of it. Because I've always said, this whole Bible was written for you. The whole Bible, this whole journey of man is written for the bride of Jesus Christ in the end time, because you and I are the one that's going to have to make it all come to pass. Okay? But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. What? He is God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Like I said last night, I don't want to sound dogmatic, but when people come here to this church and they come here once a month or once every 2 weeks and don't come half the time, and they say, well, we can't understand Brother Dale and Brother Wade, they're so deep. Go to school. You know what? If you started the first grade and went one day, and said, I think I'm going to go to third grade. Well, you go to third grade and you sit there a couple of days and you go, I can't understand this. Why? You didn't come the required way. You got to come. You got to listen. You got to study. You got to pray. Because I'll promise you, the Holy Ghost will never turn the Word down. Never turn the Word down. Doesn't matter what degree it is. Doesn't matter. I mean, listen. We got teachers in the body of Christ. We got teachers, but now there's kindergarten teachers.
That's right.
And there's college professor teachers. There's a difference. All right? But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet. Now so, see, Noah had to have faith because it had never rained. Ever. He stood up against a world, who called me the other day? Brother Chris Long and I were talking about something. He said, you know, now they say that they're estimating there was 10 billion people on earth before the flood. Just an estimation. Well, now remember, you got to say, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. There's 8 billion people on this earth right now. That's not too far off. Because Brother Brown said there was a civilization before it was advanced or more advanced than what we are in the flood. Well, Noah had, in other words, what I'm saying is, Noah had to clean him off a spot big enough to build a boat. And 10 billion people going, it ain't never rain. What is rain? Is that it? They look in their dictionary for the word rain. They don't find it. Because it's not in there. But God told Noah it was going to rain. And Noah for 120 years, what? Those who endure to the end shall be saved. And Noah was saved because he did what God said. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the whole world. And became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What? God honored his faith. God honored Noah's faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. What did he do? He called Abraham. Abraham was real comfortable. Abraham was making idols with his daddy in Ur of Chaldees. He was down in the Chaldeans and he was just really nice and happy. Had him a lovely wife and had some kin folks around him, and all of a sudden he walks in and says, Sarah, we're leaving. And we're going to take Lot with us. She's like, you dummy. We're going to take... And you know what? She's going to go, why are we leaving all this? He said, because some man spoke to me. See, Abraham, that's why Abraham, the father of our faith, he believed that was God's voice. I've said many times, God may have said that same thing to many, many people because He's not a respecter of persons. He could have said that to many people. He may have said that many times to many women that weren't named Mary, and they didn't believe it. But that one Mary and that one Abraham, Abraham said, Abraham said, you can shout if you want to, Sister Beloved. He called, listen, many are called, but few are chosen. Why are they chosen? They're chosen because what they respond to. You,
obedient.
You are the one that makes that happen. Listen, Brother Brown never told us at one point in time, we were never free moral agents. What we were discussing last night. Yes, you can stop your way all the way, anywhere in here, you can stop it. Many people have. Okay, I'm born again, this is great, this is fine, I love it, I'll stay right here. You know what? God just is pleased. Because they're children. They're born into the family. They're born again, bride. But He's got a lot more left. You say, well, how do you know that? The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. They asked Brother Brown, can you grieve the Holy Spirit? He said, yes, you can. Doors and doors. What Brother Dale's been talking about. Doors and doors is not a sinner going, and no, it's God coming into your house after it's clean. But you still got this door shut, you got this door shut. And Brother Brown said, God is what? The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. Timid.
He won't force his way.
Well, that's what I mean. If it was me, of course, if it was me, and I'm not far off this statue of perfect man. Because if it was me, if I walked into your house and I saw a door and saw a little dirt coming out from the bottom of it, buddy, I'd be doing that one high kick and I'd be knocking that door open and wanting to know to see God's not that way. It's going to rain at 10:43. So anyway, but no, I would, but God's not going to. He's going to let you be a Christian, and if you've got, Brother Brown said, pride, all these different things, well, take these. If you've got something locked up that you can't have virtue, God's not going to give you virtue. Sure, you'll have a piece of it. Everybody's got a piece of all this. Sure, you're more kind to your brother, to your brethren, after you're born again. Because they're your brother. But that's not brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is loving somebody that don't love you. Yeah. That's hard.
Yeah.
Jesus said one of the greatest commandments is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, I got two gay guys living beside me. That's kind of going to be hard.
For me too.
For Jim too. But we have to. I mean, I want to. I do. I love them. And you know what? If something happened, we'd help them all we could. But just not enter into their sin. But you still have, the Bible says, Jesus said, they asked Him, what's the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord God with all your heart, and treat your neighbor as yourself. That's the two greatest commandments. And that's what Brother Brown said, why brotherly kindness is right here before the capstone. He said, because it's hard to love somebody that don't love you. It's hard to love your neighbor that you know is going to hell if they do keep doing what they're doing, and it's vile and wicked and cruel. But you know what? Still got to love them.
That's right.
And that's hard to do. But that's why that's right here, not down here. Because you got to go through virtue and all this temperance, patience. You got to have a lot of temperance and a lot of patience. Okay? Same way with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is timid. So you can stop your Christian journey. That was asked. I did the adoption series while I was out at Brother Chris Long's. And, no, I do not. Luis, why am I sharing this with you? It says, do you want to share the Wi-Fi for Luis Urigo?
Yeah, because I was trying to connect to the Wi-Fi here on my
phone. Well, I'm sharing it with you, buddy. Right here in the middle of me trying to bring something.
Brother Dickard.
Done! Okay.
You're a good neighbor.
You're welcome. Good neighbor.
Open that box.
Now shut up. I'm not done yet. But like talking about the doors and doors, you can stop it at any time. And a sister asked me, she had two questions that was on her heart after we finished. And also, Brother Chris said when he gets back from camp, he's going to send Brother Joe all the three services, and Joe's going to post them on our website so all y'all can listen. You can listen to all three of them. But listen to them in sequence. Do not listen to mine first. Listen to them in sequence as they were preached, and you'll see how God led all the way up, right? But that is coming. But the sister asked it, well, because she come out under a preaching that when you got the Holy Ghost, you got everything. Brother Brown said you got everything for your journey. Journey. He didn't say you got everything. He said you got everything for your journey. But you can stop that journey anytime you want to. And that's what I told my sister. I said, hey, you quit feeding the baby. Or you can feed it just milk. You can feed a baby milk, and it'll survive. But boy, what a pitiful looking child it'll be when it gets about 10 or 15 years old with nothing but milk. Right? Same way in a Christian world. All right, when we go up there. Well, we got to verse 9. Wow.
Did you notice that word is endure, those who endure?
Those who endure, that's it.
What's that word
mean? Yeah, look that word up. 11, Hebrews chapter 11,
okay.
Verse 1. We were talking about last Sunday about faith and what faith was, and we're going to read it now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand. Now remember, faith is a journey. Because faith alone won't do it. Just like I told you before, if I made that statement, don't you think I got a quote to back it up?
Sure.
Brother Ram said the statue of a perfect man. I'm looking at it right now. When you got true virtue added to your faith, that's the next foundation. Well, the first you must have faith. Faith alone won't do it. That's why you have to have a growth development. What we were talking about last night. You got to grow. Sure, that faith just gets you in the body, but we got to come to a place, as we were talking last week, that when Brother Brown says faith alone won't do it, when you say, well, I got faith. There's a lot of people has faith that Jesus died for the sins. But it's not substance faith.
Right.
It's not substance faith because it hadn't come down inside here. Because remember, as Brother Branham said, that the denominational world, and if you talk to them even now, 60 years after the prophet's gone, if you ask them about their salvation, they say, well, I'm saved because Christ died on the cross. See, they put it 2,000 years back that way. Then they'll say, oh yeah, he's in my heart. But does their work show their faith?
Yeah.
It's like I'm telling you, we're going to do, when we get finished with this chapter, we'll probably do the book of James and the book of this Hebrews here, because Brother Ram said, in works is faith expressed, that faith alone won't do it. They said that before. He said it in the statue of a perfect man. Because faith alone, you say, well, I have faith. I have faith. I have faith. Faith in what? You got to have faith in something. And then that faith must produce a substance, like we were talking about last night. You get the baby here. That's the problem we've had in the message all over the world. We get people in the message. We get them to believe Brother Brown was a prophet. Then the baby gets malnourished and dies. Because I'm telling you, God is not coming, the bridegroom is not coming after a baby bride. He's coming after a wife, according to Revelation 19, not a bride. And there is a difference between a bride and a wife. Right? And if you'll know in your natural experience, when you first got married, it's like you had two left hands. With me, that's not a problem. Me and Frida, because we're left-handed anyway. But when you first got married, you fumbled around like what? Because you didn't know each other. And then you got to learn each other. And then absolutely, all of a sudden, here about 20-something years later, or 30 years later, or 40 years later, like me and Jim, you look over and you say, I was thinking about, and then they go, well, I was thinking the same thing. Or you talk about something, and your mind's been on it all day, and Jim will come home and say, what do you think about it? I say, well, I've been thinking about it. That's not a coincidence. That means that you've come together in a true union, an invisible union, that Brother Branham did not come here to give us the new birth. He didn't come here to teach us the new birth. New birth was taught right from Paul's day. Like we were talking about last night. The new birth is not this message. Is not this message. That's the problem. That's why we've been here for 50 years. They're going, Moses said, Moses said, Moses said. And I don't have a problem. I just read you a quote, so I don't have a problem with quotes. But the Scripture is what takes you to Christ. Brother Brown said, 50, 60 years ago, I'm afraid we're not getting them to Christ. We're getting them to what? A doctrine.
Right.
And that's what it is. It's become a doctrine.
Amen.
We've got something you don't have. And I hate that in the message. People thought, well, I got this revelation you don't have. or we're way up here and the denominations are way down here. Well, that may be true, but you best not brag about it.
That's right.
But that's why I believe the prophet had to come. He had to come to get a bride. He said, remember I read you the quote last Sunday in the seventh seal where he talks about, now I call you bride. Well, he brought a baby. He brought a bride to Christ. He brought a baby up, made her a bride. Remember he saw the vision he saw. He said it was the bride. But now what happened to that bride? She got out of line. Remember he said, get back in line. That was his message, to get back in line. So you and I have this message now that is a mature message for mature Christians, or it is maturing us to a spot to where, because listen, truly adoption, and I know it doesn't, it's like Daddy was talking about last night with him and Mom and your finances. I really don't, it does not matter. You're not a less Christian or a more Christian if your wife does you. Checkbook or you do it. Man, it just don't mean that to me. It don't mean squat. So that has no Christian value to it. Now it does as far as your financial situation. But when you first start out, how many of you first started out when you and Louise got married? Who did the checkbook? I'll put you on the spot. You did it, right? Mama did. But now when we first started out, I did the checkbook. It's not that I didn't trust her, I wanted to do it. But as now the years got later on, 15 or 20 years later, I gave it to her and let her do it. Well, now she does it, and she's like the rest. She does the finances, and I really don't. I just need a little bit to operate on, and she does the rest of it. All right? So what happened? What am I saying? It's a maturity that you come together to where you don't need to be fighting over finances. And same way with God. You don't need to be fighting over who's right and who's wrong. When you come to this maturity of a bride, that's why I said about faith. Faith is a journey, but listen. And this sounds so strange, but why are we still here if what we've done is the norm, is keeping us here? So, faith has to become something called a reality. Faith has to become a reality because faith alone won't do it. I told you many times before. I had to have faith that airplane, the ticket I bought, the ticket people, the airplane ticket I bought, the engine worker, the pilot, the air traffic controller, see all these people I depended on, had faith in to get me to the Philippines in March. But now once I got there, did I need faith to get to the Philippines? No, it became a substance. I was standing in what I was having faith on.
It became an evidence,
that's right. But you gotta look at it though, because I wasn't there at one time. Same way in your Christian journey. You there's a time you weren't at virtue, that you weren't at knowledge, you weren't at temperance, you weren't at patience, right? But as we work faith through that, we must see that. Brother Brown said Jesus walked in a world of perfect faith. Now, what's perfect faith? It's different than just having faith. Because sometimes our faith is a hope.
A lot of times
our faith is a hope. We hope this is going to happen. But once it comes to a place to where Jesus knew who he was, he walked in a world of perfect faith. That when he saw, what he saw came to pass. What he had, like Brother Brown. Brother Brown said, the reason I can have his confidence in my gift, it's because it works. He knows how it works. But I remember too, Brother Branham, in his early ministry, look how much trouble he got in. Amen? Even the angel kept telling him, you're explaining this gift away. Well, see, then when he turned there in 62, 63, and there, when the seal started opening, he really doesn't stay a lot on his mistakes. I'm not saying he was a perfect man, by no means, but his word that he was bringing was perfect. And it brought him into a place of so much confidence that he didn't need faith for it to work. It worked. And that's the way God wants us to do. You say, well, that was just for a prophet. I don't think Brother Brown took it all with him. He might have took the prophetic gift of one man calling people out and doing the things he did, the healing campaign. But the word that he brought is what we're here to take on. Because remember, the rapture's going to take place a certain day. But it's not a certain day because God just X'd it and said, I'm coming that day. God doesn't do stuff like that. Because he's a great God that lets us come through a journey. And he sees when we come to a place. And like I said many times before, I'm not looking for a rapture. I'm not. Like Brother Dale said last night, a rapture is an event that's going to happen when the resurrection message is preached and the dead come out of the ground and we get changed. Then a rapture is going to take place. Rapture's on down the road. We got to get the dead saints out of the ground. Somebody asked last night about that. I think it was Sister Trudy. About the dead saints. You know, and my comment on that is the reason they're not here now is because death is still reigning here in our members. It's killing us. I can see all of us. We've all aged, even Ryan. Bless his heart. Gabby hadn't aged a day since I met her 15 years ago, but you know, that's what the problem is. Why would you want to be in a place of perfect bliss and no death and have to come back here?
Yeah.
But what's got to happen is that somebody's got to come to that. Not we have faith now, but it's got to become, when it becomes a substance. Like I told y'all last Sunday, forget about external happenings. California sinking, new president, blah, 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 blah. That's not going to have nothing to do with it. It will be an after effect of what happens to you. So what is the seventh seal? What is all these great things we're looking for? It's going to come from inside. Because number one, Brother Graham said it's not going to be a public show. It's not going to be empty in hospitals. It's not going to be some great preacher raised up in a message. We're all going to flock to him. That's not it. It's going to come. Your change is going to come from what's inside of you. There will be no preacher lay their hand on you to take a body change. It'll be what's been preached and what you've took and what has been put inside of you and then quickened, like you were talking about last night. The revelation that I don't have to die. Well, we just got to keep believing that. And one day when we destroy death, Brother Graham said, death will come up your arm, you just brush it right off. Now that's when the sixth dimension saints are going to come here, because there's a group of people. It really don't need to be but one person that believes that we are already changed, and that's going to bring the dead saints out of the ground. So, nothing external. Don't look for nothing. All these things are prophecies. Sure, they're going to happen, but they're only going to happen because the bride of Jesus Christ is going somewhere on the face of this earth, doing something. Something's happening. Something's going on. The Word's being revealed. Freddie, you had a question?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, the reason what I really appreciate about being here under this ministry is all my life I've sat in different churches when I was younger. And it was almost like you believe God's going to prophet and then let's just sit and wait.
Yeah, you're waiting for something external to happen. Right. That's what the people
like
are meant to do.
Right. No talk of growth.
Right.
No. Sorry, y'all.
Even though you get the baby here, you've got to feed the baby. And if you feed the baby, what will he become? An adult. Dixie Johnny, good to have you, little.
That's what somebody said. Daddy, the other day, said, you don't preach on anything for dress and hair. And he said, we're not past that. He said,
I'm preaching
to the bride.
That's right.
To get them out of it.
Well, that's what I said Sunday. I'm preaching to a wife. I'm trying to get a wife ready, not a bride ready. Bride, you can get born again in your bride. Like last night, we were talking about getting born again under an egg under a chicken egg or an eagle egg under a hen. But, you're an eagle. You're not going to stay in that chicken yard. God's going to send you something. Mama Eagle's going to come across and scream what? This message. And what? The Holy Ghost has got to respond to that. It has to. It cannot turn the Word down. The Holy Ghost can't turn the Word down. Right? So, that's where you... See, look. Do you have to have faith now that this message is right?
No.
You better not. It better become a substance.
Right.
You. Because your works is faith expressed. Mm-hmm. What you do for God, the hair and the dress, that all comes from being born again. That doesn't come from being beat on for 50 years. Because you see them now. Look at them in the message leaving in droves. And like Brother Dale said, and it's true, you see the people leaving the message. They just go out in the world, start drinking beer and cutting their hair and tattooed. They just go, I mean, fall off the cliff. They don't go back to a Baptist church and say, well, we're just going to be good Baptists because we can't live that. No, they just go off. Why? Because they never had anything inside of them. They might have got justified. They might have got sanctified at the time because, remember, the unclean spirit goes out. It's sanctification. But remember, it's empty until something fills you back up. And what happened is the seven demons that are much worse come in. You think you've got the message all figured out. Wear your hair right and your dress right. Men don't do this. Do's and don't. Do's and don't. Do's and don't. Do's and don't. And guess what happens? The first time somebody comes in and says, well, now, Brother Branham, he was wrong right here and he was right over here or he messed this up. Well, it must be all wrong. You know, here they go. Out in the world. So, and you know what? That's not going to fool anybody. Because remember, this thing's going to be so close. Somebody asked me the other day about Jesuits. Because Jesuits are coming back into order now. They're talking about Jesuit priests and stuff. Somebody asked me one time about a year ago, said, do you think are there any Jesuits in this message? I said, full of them. Full of them. Full of Jesuit priests. Full of them. Because the Catholic Church, if you'll remember, and Brother Harris brought us the records on it, in the 60s, this is the 1960s, the Catholic Church sent a man and a woman into these denominational churches, Baptist and Methodist churches. And he got hooked up with the women, and she got hooked up with the men, and tore them churches apart. But you know what they've done? They sent them all to the Catholic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So why don't you think, if they did it to the Baptists in the 60s, I mean, they got them. Their doctrine's exactly the same almost. But what about now? What about here? So, but now, if you got the substance, like I said last Sunday, and that's very important, somebody's going to stand one day and says, Christ is in... But whatever you want put in there. Jeffersonville, Gillsville, Gainesville, whateverville. It says don't go. Right. Why does it say don't go? Because you know where he's at. That's the substance. There's false faith, folks. I mean, there's faith that is false. Because you can have, they've had faith in the Trinity for a long time, and it's false. I just read it the other day. Brother Brown said, hatched up in hell. That doctrine is hatched up from the pits of hell. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost baptism. But God winked at their ignorance, but not ours. That's why, like I said before, we don't, and I'm not a salvation preacher, and I know I'm not. There's plenty of brothers that are salvation preachers. I'm just not. I'm trying to get a wife ready to go in a rapture. Even if I have told him in Arizona, even if I have to kick you and slap you and push you. But remember, it's a pull. It's the third pull that's going to pull us into this. It's not going to be a push. It's going to be a pull. So you're going to have to feel the pull. We're all going to have to feel the pull to get ready to get out of here. Because, listen, if we have to preach on hair and dress, where are we? Where are we at? Where's our faith? That was already in the Word of God before Brother Ryan ever set foot on the face of the earth.
Pentecostals
knew that. Goodness, I mean, look at... must be the Moravians must have lived a lot better life than even John Wesley did. I mean, yeah, John Wesley did. Because when he met them, he thought he had it, and he looked at them and said, I don't have it. Well, now, you don't hear any prophet come out of the Moravian, you understand what I mean? No important man. But John Wesley, what? Having the Holy Ghost, he saw they had it, and he said, I want it. God give him a furtherment on his revelation and then now made him a church age messenger because then he said, hey, sanctification is my message. So, and I read you a long time ago, remember Brother Brown said, every church age had a box. It had a box to live in and a Revelation chapter 3, that was your box. Well, our box is not hair and dress and clothes and Our box is a resurrection message. We're trying to preach the resurrection. And what is the resurrection message? People miss this. They say, we're in the Son of Man. We're in the Son of Man. We're in the Son of Man. You say something about resurrection, they say, oh, we ain't got there yet. Well, the Son of Man is the sign of the Son of Man is the resurrection.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's just pretty simple. But people will say, well, we're in the Son of Man, Son of Man message, and they still preach hair and dress and clothes. And that's not the Son of Man message.
You got to open the box.
Yes,
it's
you got to open the box.
It's not just the box.
Right, that's right.
If you get a box in the mail, you won't know what's in it. Your kids or whatever, so you've got to open the box and find out what's in the box.
Preach it, sister. Okay. But that's right. I mean, we got a box. We got to open it, see what's in it, and then use what's in it. And that's what I believe we're doing. That don't make us no different than anybody else, but look, we got to stand to a place where nobody stood before, ever.
That's right.
Even the Lord had to die before he got a body change. There's somebody going to stand right here on this earth in my time and stand here and destroy death right here, even though you're not going to look no different. Because remember, our body change doesn't come until after the dead saints come out of the ground. We which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep, for the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we will be changed. Right? So we do have to have faith even further than that, because we have to have faith. But I'm going to tell you something. Once Brother Tatum, Brother Tom, Brother Gary, some of the ones that went on, Sister Ruth,
right,
when they start coming in among us,
yep,
and we can see that,
body change.
Body change is coming. It's just going to have to happen. It's got to happen. That's right.
But if you see that, you'll know you're going.
If you see that, you'll know you're going. That's right. So now, let's get on down here a little bit further right before we get started too much. So faith, but remember too, faith is alone won't do it. So you got to have faith. You got to start out with faith, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, because you do have to have faith. I have to have faith that he died on the cross. But now once that man, Christ, comes into me by the new birth, now I don't have to have faith that he died on the cross again. I can put that aside. I know he did. I know he resurrected. Brother Branham said, I read this the other day, Brother Branham said, Jesus proved who he was, not during his ministry, not even dying on the cross, because many people died on the cross. He said he proved who he was when he came out of that tomb. He proved who he was when he came out of that tomb. So guess what? We're going to prove who we are when the dead saints come out and come among us, and then we take a body change. We'll prove. Like I said before, I've read it many times, those who endure to the end. Think about that. That's your journey. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. All right? For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now see, they got a good report. What was the report? Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report, and who has the arm of the Lord been revealed to? In other words, you keep reading about your salvation. But look at verse 3. It says, not by faith. It says through faith. You got to go through faith to get to this substance. Because remember, what was Brother Branham doing when he would look at that person, that she, the person would walk up, and he would look at that person, and then he'd look off to the side, and he'd see a little television screen. He said, I see you sitting on the side of the bed yesterday. What's he doing? He's looking at a vision that either has happened before or is going to happen. Because remember, he didn't do anything to that dead baby in Mexico until God showed him a vision of his mother bouncing a live baby on her knee. Well, you know what? That actually happened in the future. That literally happened. But Brother Brown had to have faith that that happened. But when he told that woman, I don't know that he had to explain it all to her, but he said all he said was, I see you bouncing this baby, you know, ever what time it was, an older child. You know, he told that girl one time, that lady one time, said, I see you now, the child was dying of leukemia. Young girl. He said, but now I see your daughter as a young woman. Well, my heavens. Boy, you're talking about an assurity. Well, see, that brought faith, but that brought it to a substance. Because that substance was that mark that he saw the woman bouncing the baby. That was the substance. And what happened to her faith? Her faith then became a substance. Now, she had to believe. But she believed in what the angel said, get the people to believe you. Okay, he prayed for many people. But boy, once he saw that vision, remember I told y'all that one, I read that one last night. That was so good. About where he, Brother Bud Southwick, brother, was an epileptic. So Brother Bud's wife was scared of the man. Deathly scared of him. Well, Brother Branham is on a riding, I guess he's hunting with Brother Bud. So he rides up to Brother Bud and said, Brother Bud, said, what's bothering you? In other words, he said, it's my brother. Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord, go get your brother, bring him to your house, and next time he has a fit, you. Now he said, you, I read it, remember last night, he said, you take the, straddle the man, rip his shirt off, and throw it in the fire and say, thus saith the Lord, this won't happen again. Now, remember what happened.
Right.
It didn't happen exactly like he said.
Right.
Because what happened was, his brother Bud left for a time, went somewhere else, and his wife was there with her brother-in-law, and he has one of those fits. Well, his wife, his bride,
right,
catches the vision.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be kind of rough. That'd be kind of rough. Hey, me and Lisa in the house together, and somebody come in, and here she is straddling me, pulling my shirt off. That wouldn't be too good. But remember what Brother Brown said. He said she jumped on top of her brother-in-law. But remember, the point was, Bud must have told her that, because Brother Brown said she's so scared that she took the kids and jumped out the window one time when that guy started having a fit. But by faith, she saw what Brother Brown was talking about. She turns, jumps on top of her brother-in-law, rips his shirt off, throws it in the fire, and says, thus saith the Lord, you'll never have this problem again. Well, that's what I'm telling you about. God has transferred this. He may have said this to Christ, but he said it to the bride. You and I, remember, she is him. So whatever scripture talks to the bridegroom speaks to the bride. That's exactly the point right there. He spoke to the bridegroom, but the bride carried it out. She ripped that shirt off, throwed it in the fire, and said, and you know what? God honored that. See what I mean? So that she had faith, but remember, once she threw that in the fire and said, thus saith the Lord, it wasn't faith anymore. It was the substance.
But it really was Brother Bud doing it in one way, like God said, because she's fucking him.
Exactly.
She was him.
That's right. Yep. That's why I meant that was the analogy we were using about us. Mm-hmm. As many things speaks of Jesus Christ, it speaks of us. We've got to see that we catch that vision.
Right.
That it is speaking of the bridegroom. I mean the bride. It is speaking of the bridegroom, but the bridegroom and the bride are the same person. Right? So through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, God didn't take a ball of dirt that was already here. He created from nothing. The worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Because remember, Brother Branham, when the squirrels came into existence, he had faith in what God said. But once that squirrel come out on the end of that tree, that wasn't faith anymore. That was the substance. That's what you and I have got to see, that like you were talking about last night, the new birth is a revelation. What? It becomes a substance. It becomes something you can hold on to. That Christ is here, and you don't have to go get Christ at a certain place over there. If you got him here. Now, the ones that don't have him here, they're going to go there. And that's where you see people going from all different churches and all these different things, trying to find the truth, which is okay if they find it. But if they just go in because of some other reason, they never going to find the truth. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. In other words, he got a revelation, regardless of what anybody told him, regardless of what Cain told him, He knew something happened besides just fruits and vegetables and eating an apple. He knew it was some, remember it was born in his mother's blood, right? So there had to be blood of an animal as a substitute of what happened. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Because remember, if Abel would have continued on living, we wouldn't have this story. Abel had to die to top Christ dying, and then Seth coming up to be raised up in the stead of, to take the lineage on out. Alright? So by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And Brother Brown said he pleased God for 500 years.